Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on September 24th of 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the stuff we've been watching, some of which is on Toonami, a lot of which is on Toonami, about half of which is on Toonami. No, it's less than half. Well, it depends on how we're actually counting some of the stuff. No, it would be about 3/8, I think, because... Okay, let's move on before I goof up the intro more than I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are we've decided to also go back and finish this third season of Attack on Titan. So that's our new show that we're going to be trying to do. But yeah, for now we're going to be starting with our Toonami stuff. So we've got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind episode 34. The Silver Chariot somehow swaps people into different bodies because it has that power now, I guess.
Yeah, it's like that thing that Iggy Koopa created in the final Mario Choose Your Own Adventure book.
Brain drain. Yeah, that was the 12th, wasn't it?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I remember that one. It wasn't Brain Drain. Brain Drain, wasn't that the one? No. It was. I was thinking of it was the one with Ludwig, but then I realized, no, that was Pipe Down.
Right.
It's a shame those things aren't like... printed anymore. I can't remember if it was you who mentioned it to me about how them being more expensive now.
Yeah, I found a eBay have 10 out of the 12, and they were for well over $100, but I didn't have the money to blow on them. The ones I want to get the most are the Legend of Zelda ones, because they made two Legend of Zelda ones, and my parents never got those ones for me because, you know, I never played that game. So I'm just interested to seeing what those books are like, because the other ones, I've got them memorized like the back of my hand.
Yeah, I remember, what was I was thinking? Dang, I was going to say something. One thing I remember about the Legend of Zelda ones is, if I remember correctly, some of there were, of course, all the game over stuff where the characters die or have something else terrible happen to them. I remember the Zelda ones were like especially they're still like for kids, but like deaths include like stuff like Zelda getting what do you call those? You know those thing that they always have in the traps on stuff where there's two walls and they're just moving towards each other to try to crush someone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that totally happens. Another one, she drowns in quicksand. Then again, I think there is one where if you have the anchor with the Mario stuff, then it pulls you down and you drown in one of
right.
them.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those, oh man. So those were kind of hit and miss. It always did bug me that one time in Pipe Down where you have a puzzle, and okay, well this is one of our obligatory tangents, but it says so you need to like figure out what the thing for this vault is. Now if you get it right, then it opens, but it turns out it's just a vault of all these bowling balls, and if you have the basketball, it gets destroyed, which is bad because there's a later part where you have to choose between three pipes, one of which results in instant death, and the basketball will like tell you that, and you'll be able to bypass it completely.
Mm-hmm.
The worst one, I think I might have mentioned this before, but I always got to bring this one up.
It's I know.
Oh, you know what I'm going to say?
Yep.
Okay, so it's in the one Koopa Capers where you get to choose whether to go into this cave or not. And the hint it tells you is, if you don't like this heat, stay out of the cave. But you have to go into the cave.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you were going to bring up actually the seventh book where you have to do three things in a certain order, and there's no way of knowing which order you're supposed to do them in except by trial and error. So
which one is the seventh again?
The Dinosaur Dilemma.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, the one where you have to go to, like, the jungle, and then you have to go someplace else, and then you have to go someplace else. And you have to do it in a certain order, or you don't get the items you need, and you end up dying.
Wasn't that the one where if you send Mario to look for food, he gets some apples, uh-huh. If you are carrying the apples, when you find some dinosaurs, it turns out they're all Mega Moles, and they kill you?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that was a hard one.
Yeah, that was really hard. And one of those puzzles in that one, last thing I have to say, one of those puzzles in there, I think they completely just screwed. Because it looks like if the whatever they are fit into the net. It looks like they fit perfectly in the net. But whenever you say they fit perfectly in the net, then you get killed. So, that's one I'm still bitter over. Sorry.
No, it's fine. The other last thing I was going to mention one of them. To be fair, in the one where you have to go into the cave, there is a point later on where you, soon afterwards, where you're given the option of like, hey, you can go into a cave into this different cave, and it leads you to the same thing. But it's just such a weird thing there. That was annoying. So yeah, some of those were pretty unfair.
Yeah.
Although I'm looking it up, I'm trying to see, Koopa Capers, at least that is actually on archive.org. I mean, you have to borrow it, but yeah, you can, like, if you go there, you can read that book. I don't know if the other ones are there. So that's a cheaper way of accessing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people have had their bodies switched, yes. Now, after, so we, of course, get a bunch of sort of wacky comedy from that initially. Unfortunately, they don't have the fungus up to drink to cure themselves. So they're like that for now, but they are. So Polnareff has become a turtle. So we already thereby fulfilling that thing that I heard about. So we get a bunch of information about the arrow. Turns out that if it hits a stand, it makes it like act different and more. Actually, I can't remember. The point is, it makes it more powerful.
Yeah.
Then the thing ends with Diavolo apparently coming in. They're like, oh, we should attack him. And then someone's like, wait, something's different. And then they work out that, oh, it's actually Bruno. He swapped bodies with Diavolo. And we don't know where Diavolo is. Maybe he's just playing Daddy in Bruno's body. Or maybe something else. But the point is, they figure that out. And that's where our episode ends. I kind of feel like Bruno could have like said, hey, it's me, Bruno. I'm not Diavolo. I mean, you know, to make sure they wouldn't attack him, but.
Yep. I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really funny, and I thought it was interesting, like, you know, the whole strategy of everything. My only complaint, really, is, like, how in the world do you switch minds with a turtle? I mean, like, is there a, like, limit to who gets their brain switched? Like, if it's like an ant, could you get your brain switched with an ant? And since there are, like, millions of ants, I don't know. I just didn't get the turtle thing. So,
okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, the real question, and before I get into it, one quick explanation for anyone wondering, that when I mentioned the fungus up, that was just a reference to something in the book. If anyone was listening, I had no idea what that meant. Anyway, but back to this. Well, the real question I would be thinking about, because we know, I mean, animals can have stands in JoJo. That's been established. But the bigger question with this is, I'm just thinking, are turtle brains big enough to house all like the human thoughts? I mean, like I'd assume an ant couldn't. And suddenly I'm wondering, wait a minute, when they turned into insects and animorphs, how did they think? Like, how were they able to, like, think human stuff in it? Wouldn't the brain size of the ant be way too small to be able to process all of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they gave a specific explanation as to where their extra mass goes, but it never explains what, it goes to something called Z-space or whatever. But it never explains how they're able to think fully human while, you know, their brain is so small.
Mm-hmm.
In that. But yes, this was a fun episode. A lot of the body swapping jokes were kind of funny. We're getting close to the end. So I'm going to guess this is probably where we're going to be going up again. We'll be getting the final fight soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so we got that. We've got, then we move on to Assassination Classroom Episode 4. So they have a new person who's going to be the teacher there, except she's there because she's, you know, actually just another assassin who's trying to kill Koro-sensei. So we get that. So we try, So she tries to basically lure him into a trap via, you know, basically flirting and with him and seducing him, but it ends up not working, What's some other stuff? Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of gags about how her last name is Yelovich, but all the kids, in a joke that made more sense when it was in Japanese, confused the V and the B.
Yeah.
Karasuma is like, hey, Koro-sensei, manages to get her to stick around and be more helpful and help actually teach the kids by showing her how all the effort Koro-sensei puts into teaching him, which I'm not sure how that's supposed to work when he's claiming, oh, I'm going to destroy the world, but. I didn't do a great job explaining the plot, I guess, but you saw it, so.
I saw it, and I thought it was better than what we've done so far. I still think it's getting old, the whole thing of someone goes to kill him, and then he is Mach 20 or something else, and he's able to escape. And, like, I know they can't kill him yet because obviously we're nowhere near the end of this season, but it's like there needs to be something to happen that, like, I don't know. I can't think it up, but I just feel like there needs to be something different happening rather than every time Koro-sensei coming out and saying, whoa, you didn't hurt me at all. In fact, I knew what you were doing from the very beginning. You know, like that joke has just gotten so old that I don't know how I'm going to make it through another 8 episodes of this. So we'll see if this show comes up with something better. Like, maybe they can, maybe, you know, like, Koro-sensei is actually a good guy in disguise, and I don't know. Well, Hopefully it gets better, though.
I know we have some stuff other than just specific focus on that later on. I'm just not sure how early it gets introduced. Mm-hmm. The thing that bugged me, though, is that since Irina is supposed to be, like, this great assassin and stuff, but I'm just thinking, but then she used, like, regular bullets when everyone knows those don't hurt Kuro-sensei. You have to use those special anti-him, like, material. So you're, like, this great assassin, but you didn't do that super basic bit of research?
Yeah.
That was what annoyed me the most about the episode, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, anytime someone does use those bullets, then he just goes Mach 20 and...
Yeah, but at least if it hits him, it'll actually hurt. All right. So then we're on to Black Clover, episode 132. So Mario Leona is back, who... Actually, I think she was in one or two episodes that you saw, but didn't get too much focus there. You kind of came in after the main focus stuff she got. So she just kind of grabs a bunch of the characters and wants them to do some sort of training thing by going underground through this volcano thing. And they're like, why? And she's like, well, look, we need episodes, okay? So we do that in order to, like, practice their mana skins stuff, you know, to protect themselves from it. So we get a bunch of wacky hijinks that, along the way that are a lot more enjoyable than the wacky hijinks of the previous episode. But then at the end, it turned out the whole thing, well, they're... Part of the reason she did it was just because she was trying to lure this monster out so she could attack it. And then we find out that the thing was guarding some new place. And I guess we're going to explore that next episode.
Yep. Not much to say about this. It's like, how did you describe it to me? It's like cannon filler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so basically, I mean, it's the stuff, it's the kind of stuff you would see in canon, just not told as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, a bunch of the jokes were kind of funny. It is very much a matter of, you look at this and you're like, yeah, there's a reason the manga decided to just skip over all of this.
Yeah.
All right. So... Then we're on, and we move on to, let's see,
yeah.
ReZero episode 37, I think, yes, it is. Okay, so Subaru, goes back into the, into the sanctuary to try to, go through the, trial, apparently, and sees all of these, worlds that went on after his death, which was actually kind of cool, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's literally seeing all the stuff, the part where at the start of the season where he just kills himself to try to go back in time to save Rem, but then you actually see what would have happened, which is, you know, Amelia becoming completely distraught over the fact that Subaru, from her perspective, just randomly killed himself and stuff. And then I feel a little, it is a little interesting that I was able to look at all those scenarios and identify which death they all corresponded to. But yeah, that was cool. But then so Subaru's going kind of crazy from all of it. And then Rem shows up and she's like, hey, you've been missing me this season. And Subaru goes, you're not Rem. She's like, yeah, I'm not Rem. Sorry to get your hopes up. It's actually the Witch of Lust who has the power that people see her as other things. Anyway, Subaru ends up in that area with Echidna again, and she suggests that they make some kind of contract, and Subaru initially is like, that seems like a great Dia. I guess I won't ask about any of the specifics or anything. But then, so Minerva, you know, that super angry witch from before, shows up, who, and is like telling him, no, that it's more complicated than that. And the other witches actually pop up also to tell him that. So we basically, in a scene that's kind of hard to sum, but it's summarized, we basically find out that, Echidna's, you know, will help him, but mostly just wants to have a, satiate all her curiosity along the way and presumably not just get to the point by whatever means necessary rather than how he would necessarily want to. So he does bring up that fact that she told Beatrice, oh, just stick around and wait for that person. And he wants to know what's going on. He said, oh, there wasn't any person in mind. I just told her that person. It could have been anyone she wanted it to be. Which makes him decide not to actually do the enter the contract with her. Then Zatella shows up.
This time for real.
Maybe. We'll see.
So, so Zatella's filling up. I probably asked this before, but how many episodes do we have left until the hiatus?
First off, if I wanted to correct something, I might have said this was episode 38. It's episode 37. As to what we have, from what I saw someone say, we've got one episode left.
Oh. Oh. So next week is it.
Yeah, and then it'll be on, I don't know exactly how long. I think it's supposed to start again in early 2021. So that would be maybe three months.
If we're lucky. We haven't been very lucky.
Okay, well, according to Wikipedia, which is always reliable, it says that the second half will start airing in January of 2021. So that'll be 3 to 4 months from now.
And it won't be under the 2020 curse, so maybe it'll be a lot better.
Yeah. Well, honestly, though, I did like the episode. It was, I mean, I guess you can say there wasn't really plot progression exactly, but it made sense and stuff. I did like the personalities of some of the other witches and kind of was thinking, man, I wish we could have seen, I wish we would see a little more of some of them.
Yeah.
Also, apparently, I was looking up something, and apparently there actually is apparently the light novels or web novels, I don't know, whatever, some of them have, like, these brief side stories that are just sort of what-if scenarios. So it says, so on TV Tropes, it actually said what happened in that alternate thing where Subaru did take the deal. It just said, Subaru is a Stepford Smiler, Amelia is extremely dependent on him, Reinhardt secretly hates him, and Subaru dies simply to sate Echidna's curiosity. So, not a good... So, he probably dodged a bullet there. I can totally see that, though, with Echidna just being, like, the person who... if you're like playing a video game and you want to like check every single thing out, no matter how many times you die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can see that being, what she would have ended up, doing. The other thing I was going to say is I did think it was kind of, I would say it was kind of dumb, again, for Subaru to, like, apparently be willing to enter the thing without asking, okay, so what do you get out of this, and what's any possible disadvantages or anything like that? But I suppose, to be fair, he was showing at least some hesitation, wouldn't necessarily have done it. I don't know, but, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Oh. I mentioned Stepford Smiler. Apparently that was some trope for just, you know, someone who's inwardly feeling really depressed, but just kind of puts on a brave face to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So we've only got one episode left. So there's the question. How much can they get resolved in that time?
Yep.
Because it is in the middle of they can't end finish this arc in time. Okay. So that was ReZero. Then we'll move on to Tales of the Abyss, episodes 14 and 15. By the way, I noticed that I actually, on the podcast descriptions, the numbers were wrong for a bunch of the episodes for Tales of the Abyss, but I fixed them now. Well, it was just in the descriptions. The video, when I say it out loud, seems to be okay. Not video, audio.
Okay, I'm just nervous that I watched one too many.
Well, I don't think so necessarily because these were going back. These were going back for like several weeks, and I suddenly realized, oh, well, I messed up on one, and then I just kept repeating that.
Mm-hmm. Well, go through what happened, and then I'll find out whether I messed up.
Okay, so the first let's see. Let me make sure I've got this stuff. I'm looking, although, at did I watch the wrong things, because I wrote this thing. Hang on a sec. Let me double check to make sure. I think I wrote some of this stuff down incorrectly. It was episodes 15 and 16. Sorry.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. That's why I was doing it. I was looking at something. It doesn't matter. The point is episodes 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, though, I want to mention something. Because we, last episode, were talking about how we got this big flashback to explain Guy's fear of women and stuff. And we were just left wondering, was that a character trait? I asked my brother who played the game. I was curious. And he said, oh, yeah, that was like that. That was basically a running gag with him that popped up a bunch. And then when you get the flashback to find out why, you suddenly feel bad for laughing at it. So apparently that was something in the game that was just cut out of in the anime, which makes it not make much sense. It's like that bit where Krista hits Levi in Attack on Titan, except in the anime, except they cut out the scene that actually set that up to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes no sense. To be fair, they kind of gave like a quick sort of partial explanation, but yeah, it made less sense there. Anyway, Tales of the Abyss. So they're going to go to... Okay, I will be honest, a lot of what... I'm not sure exactly what they're doing. It's basically technobabble to me, but they are trying to save the world by going to a place to do a thing.
And they want to stop a war, too, right?
They want to try to get stop the war before they actually go through all this because they don't want a bunch of people continually dying while they're trying to fix the world. So, we get that. Natalia's father, who was all ready to previously kill her, is now, is like, oh, well, I guess I messed up about that. Sorry.
Yeah.
The fact that he would suddenly change to, oh, well, I guess I'm going to kill her. Oh, I guess I'm not going to kill her. Both of those were so sudden. Is he just like a person who constantly changes his mind extremely or something?
I wonder if in the game, like, that's actually a gag or something. You know,
maybe I was just thinking that maybe we were supposed to believe that he was under some kind of influence, but it doesn't really seem like that unless, I mean, there were some people who were giving him advice and stuff on this sort of thing, but it seems like a little bit extreme to be going, oh, well, some people said, maybe I should kill my daughter, so I guess I will. maybe he's just really suggestible. So the guy says, hey, why don't you go kill your daughter? I'll do it. And then they come and go, hey, how about you don't do it? And he's like, good point. If you can get an audience with him, you just have to say, I think you should give me a lot of money. And he says, I agree.
Well, did you see that picture I sent you?
You started to play the game?
I didn't start to play it, but I did buy it today. and we'll see what happens from there. I'm really interested to see if the game and the anime, like, are they fairly close to each other, or is it, like, really different? I like to find that out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. Come to think of it, my brother played it. Do I actually have it, or he might have the game with him? I'm not entirely sure, but yeah. So they managed to make the piece, I guess, and everything works out all great. We get some stuff about some more stuff with Guy that involves political stuff that I was confused about and thus don't get, but things are resolved with him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm noticing this stuff about where I'm saying, like, oh, it's political stuff and I don't get it. But actually, no, wait, let me finish the next episode and then I'll explain that.
Okay.
So we get to episode 16 and they're going to go down into the depths of the thing to try to fix stuff, but they get attacked by some of the bad guys. Then some characters that we barely knew make heroic sacrifices to let them leave, which I guess we're supposed to feel really bad about, but the fact that we didn't really know any of them kind of mutes it a bit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but we do find out why the bad guy is trying to do all of this. It's because he's tired of how everyone is just trying to follow along perfectly with all the prophecies and stuff. And since replicas will thwart that, he wants to kill everyone and make a world of replicas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically his plan, along with some other things to make sure it stays that way. They manage to get away, and they go... and they're heading, and they get into the thing to take off. They end up fighting this other person. They end up encountering this other person in what I assuming the game was an epic boss battle, but which comes across kind of anticlimactically in the anime, because they just talk. I mean, after they talk, they like fail to stop them, and they talk, and then the person's like, "Well, I'll just kill myself now." We do find out that what's his name again? The guy who looks like a girl.
Ion.
Yeah. As soon as you started saying it, I remembered it. I was thinking Fawn, and I'm like, no, that's not it. They're a Fawn master.
Yeah, that's the same thing I was about to say.
Yeah, they're a replica also, and that other one was a replica. So they just decide to then we find out that tier is affected by something that makes it so that the farther they go into this thing, the sicker she could get, which is basically where our episode ends.
Yeah. So we kind of got some urgency for the gang now because of that. By the way, you notice that little thing at the end where the mascot character always goes over to a circle. What I'm betting that is that's like the save point in the actual game. During the final credits, you know what I'm talking about?
I think so. I don't usually pay too much attention to the credits, so but I think I vaguely remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, yeah, and I almost forgot the thing that I put off saying. I was saying when I was noticing this show and I was like, oh, there's all this political stuff I don't understand and they need to do stuff at a place and I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I get the fact that it's important and they need to do it. I'm just thinking, this is like a Gundam series, except it's, you know, a lot better than the ones we've watched. It's like Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans or Gundam Unicorn, except good.
Yeah.
I mean, it still has some of the same weaknesses as those, but it's still done a lot better.
Yeah.
Um, So, yeah, did you have anything else to say?
No, except that it was good. Both episodes were good, and I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this show a lot. So that's why I bought the game, because now I'm interested in seeing how the game... Now you have to understand, I'm not a very patient person. I'm not a very patient person. So how long I'll play the game, who knows? Because if I get stuck somewhere, I just tend to quit. So we'll see about that. But if I do end up playing it, I'll let you know how things compare to the actual anime.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I haven't ever, I don't think I've seen, well, I was going to say, I don't think I've watched an anime that was based directly on a video game like this, but then I remember, oh, wait, I saw Steins Gate. But Steins Gate was a visual novel, so, you know, it was much, that's different from an RPG, because you can adapt it more directly, I suppose. It does make me very interesting to see how the anime for The World Ends With You turns out, because I really like that game, so I'm really interested to see what the anime is like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So that was Tales of the Abyss. Then we move on to Ghost in the Shell episode 28. So after you.
Sorry, I had a laugh. This episode was so weird.
Were you excited to see all the new adventures of the Major and Bato and Togusa and all the rest? Well, try next episode. Because this episode is mostly devoted to the life of this random guy who was one of the, because they did mention it a little in the previous episode, and I guess part of the point of this episode was to get you more into it, about how there's been a bunch of refugees from other Asian countries who have come to Japan, and this one focuses on one of them, and it's all about how his life is, how he doesn't like his life, and things don't seem to be working out for him, and he does a lot of monologuing about how everything is fake and stuff. And you know, if he had actually used the phrase fake news at some point, I would have put this as number one. The thing is, though, all of his, especially early on, thankfully it does taper off a bit towards the episode, all of his, like, monologuing about everything being corrupt and all that stuff, I was thinking, when I saw this episode before, it wasn't as annoying to me. It is now, and I'm wondering if maybe it's because there seem to be a lot more people who actually are thinking that way. But anyway, so he's doing all that, and he keeps imagining, you know, going on, like, you know, like killing people out of frustration, or even just other, just like telling people off, which he never ends up doing. So really, that's basically the episode, mostly just him going through life, a lot of stuff not working out for him, like he tries to hire a prostitute, but apparently you have to pay extra to actually do it with them, which seems sort of weird, but then again, I've never enlisted any of their services, so maybe that is how it usually goes. But, anyway, so like I said, it's a weird episode, lots of monologuing from him, his life isn't very good, so you know what happens, at the end, he gets hit by Lil Slugger. Seriously, though, this episode felt like something from Paranoia Agent.
It did, and I didn't even realize it until now. Oh man, yeah. If that had happened, like, I would have, I don't know what I would have done, but that it would have felt exactly like a episode of Paranoia Agent, because He reminded me of so many characters from that show who had the exact same experience, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, all we get is the major telling Bato that, because throughout this episode we've seen them a bit, and you know, we find out, oh, they were monitoring him because they were trying to see if he was actually, like, you know, a potential terrorist or anything, but they decide no, he doesn't have the nerve to ever act on any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the closest thing you unfortunately get to the Lil Slugger whack.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, there were some parts in there where I was thinking, wow, this is kind of prescient. But predictive. But then unfortunately the show showed that it did not predict things so well, because apparently it thinks in the year 2030 that people will still be using wired public payphones.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That was I saw that and I was like, wait a minute, what show am I watching here?
Yeah, so that was a swing and a miss when it came to predicting the future. Let's see. The series originally aired like this season, like around 2003 or 2004. I can't remember. Were cell phones that common then?
The iPhone came around in 2007, so that's probably about as good of a gauge as you can get on that.
Yeah. Well, at that point, definitely, I think that one would have expected to be fair, at work we still have, like, you know, corded phones and stuff, but I think the reason you do that is to make sure that people can't just, like, steal the phone part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, the funny thing to look at that and see that the guy's still using what looks like a payphone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was Ghost in the Shell. It was some parts of it were kind of boring, but I will say it's nice to be covering the show again, because it, even in an episode like this where it's a little boring, it's still a smart show, and we've kind of been missing that after Paranoia Agent ended.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So finally, we get to Attack on Titan, episode 50. Season 3, part 2. So actually, it's probably a good thing Attack on Titan is at the end, because we're going to be getting into some pretty big spoilers this season. So anyone listening, you might want to turn it off before we start discussing the Attack on Titan stuff if you don't want to get through any of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're going on their their goal to try to plug up the walls, get to the base mint, find out what's there, and all that kind of stuff. But they know that their enemies are probably waiting for them, and then they do, and they discover that, yeah, they are there somewhere, but they don't know where. Armin manages to figure out, to guess that they're hiding in the walls, and manage to find them there. But then Raynor, who's one of them, bursts out. Levi tries to kill him, but it doesn't work because... So you know how Raynor is the Armored Titan? Well, mm-hmm. There's a reason people make jokes that he's not just the Armored Titan, he's the Plot Armor Titan. Because he literally gets, like, stabbed through the neck, and he's like, well, I'm just going to become a Titan now. Then, like, the Beast Titan, you know, shows up with a bunch of other Titans to block off their escape. So, yeah, it's on. They're going to have to take them on now.
Yep.
So, what did you think of it?
Well, I think it still had some of the same problems it's had the whole time. You know, you've got, you know, Armin is kind of useless, and Mikasa, all she cares about is, you know,
Aaron.
And Jaeger. I'm sorry, I forgot his name for a second. I'm like, what's his name again? Oh yeah,
it's actually Jaeger, because it's yeah. one. It's like this show has like one of those weird things where it where the pronunciations are German. So like the J makes a y sound. It's the same thing with Erwin, because it's spelled E-R-W-I-N, but the W is pronounced as a V sound in German. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Armin was okay in this episode. Mikasa, well, she didn't really do much, honestly. But this was basically like the opening thing. So maybe you'll like it more. Or maybe you'll end up hating all of it, and you'll be like, "This was the good part."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We don't know. Right now, I just say it's about average through one episode. We'll see how it goes.
I will say one thing: I really do like the show's music. Like, it has a very good use of music. Like that. Like when we see him transforming into the Armored Titan and all that other stuff. The epic music that's playing was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The series is one that uses music very well. So a thumbs up to that. Also, I noticed that they had Linked Horizon do the theme song again. Not that it's a complaint. They're good. And the one time they didn't do the theme song, I was like, wow, this theme song does not seem to fit the show at all.
Yeah, that one was horrible.
Yeah, like that was the second one for season one where it opens up and it's like all this triumphant music and stuff. You're like,
oh, wait, no, the one I thought was horrible was the one called Heaven. That was the worst.
What?
Do you remember the song called Heaven?
Maybe I'm thinking of a different one than you. A bunch of them I don't see one that's named that. What were the theme? Let me check the theme songs. Where? Why am I not finding this stuff? Okay. What was I? No, I'm looking at. I think I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Okay. Oh, I see why I'm looking at the wrong. Yeah, I'm being an idiot. Let me check. You were saying it was called Heaven, or
yeah.
I don't see one that's named that. I just remember the first season had Gurren no Yumiya or a Crimson Bow and Arrow. Then the next one was then the second one was called like Wings of Freedom. So, I'm not sure what song. It might have been that it was called that, but it was something in a different translation. So I'm just not sure what you're referring to.
What was I thinking of?
Wait,
I want to figure this out because this is bothering me. let's see. Okay, how did it? Huh? Okay, maybe I just imagined it. It was just this like soft song, and it ended with the word heaven. I must have just imagined it.
I mean, maybe it was one of the songs, and that you just weren't thinking of it as its name. Do you remember what season it was from?
Let's see, but here we go. Attack on Titan Wiki. Maybe that'll help. The category music. Let's see.
We beg the indulgence of the listener as we try to figure this out.
no, we're not finding it out. There's like a million different songs they have on here. I don't know what I was thinking of. Probably imagined it, but yeah.
Actually, I feel like I do remember a theme, something ending, a song ending with that. I'm just not sure if it was an opening or an ending, or if it was even on Attack on Titan. But I do remember there was one that ended very much like that. So yeah, we'll figure it out later, maybe. But in the meantime, so that was Attack on Titan, and, oh yeah, that is all of them. We're done. For some reason, I felt like there's something else.
No, that's it. You must be thinking we're still in Excel World.
Yeah. So after that, I guess we can, list what our favorite top, three were.
Okay, do you want me to go first?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay, so third place this week is going to go to... Wait a minute, what did we... Oh, my memory is killing me. I have a hard time remembering things. And, okay, we watched that. Please tell me what the other thing we watched besides Attack on Titan was.
We had JoJo, Assassination Classroom, Black Clover, ReZero, Tales of the Abyss, Ghost in the Shell, and Attack on Titan.
Okay. Now, Ghost in the Cell was the one I was forgetting. Okay, so in third place, I am going to put ReZero, second place, JoJo, and first place, Tales of the Abyss.
I think I would, mine would actually be kind of similar, although just a different order. For first place, see, I ruined the suspense by starting with the first one, but that would be JoJo, then it would be ReZero, and then Tales of the Abyss. So just, so same things, I think, just a different order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Ooh.
All right. So that's it for now. After this, we're probably going to figure out what in the world we were actually talking about there, but we don't want to bore you while we try to figure that out. So this has been Toonami Therapy. You can find our previous episodes at toonamitherapy.podbean.com, which now I believe have the correct numbers for the ones we were covering in of Tales of the Abyss. And with that said, we will see you next week for the end of this first part of the second season of ReZero.
Bye.
Okay, we're inserting this because we actually did figure out what we were talking about. It was Red Swan, the third season opening. And part of the confusion was me, because I was saying, oh, Linked Horizon did all of those. And I was wrong. They didn't do it for the first half of the third season. I thought they did, because I was thinking of the ending theme for that, which is what they did. So basically the thing is, Attack on Titan themes are good when Linked Horizon does them. They are not very good when they don't do them.
Bye. Just wanted to throw that in there.